The following is a presentation of the Dirt Track Channel.
Well, hi there, everybody. I'm Sean Wood, and welcome to the Sprint Car Show for Tuesday, November the 8th. On today's broadcast, we'll talk with Lucas Wolf and find out about his new ride in Central Pennsylvania for 2017. We'll catch up with Casey Schumann and find out the latest news on the War Sprint Car Series that he promotes. And finally, we'll chat with 22-year-old female 410 rookie Courtney O'Hare from Sydney, Australia. That's all coming up next on today's broadcast of the Sprint Car Show, which is brought to you by Shula's Steakhouse in Miami Lakes, Florida. When you think steaks, think Shula's. By the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum, located outside of Turn 2 at the famed Knoxville Raceway, and by Kinzer Air Filters, proudly made in the USA.
Yes, Dolph fans, football season is here, but Shula's, the name synonymous with perfection, can be enjoyed year-round. Whether it's a round of golf on our championship golf course, dinner at the original Shula's Steakhouse, having visiting guests, or yourself, enjoy their stay at the legendary Don Shula Hotel with adjoining athletic club and spa. The perfect choice any time of year is Shula's. For more information, 305-821-1150 or visit donshulahotel.com.
Hi, this is Luke Bowie driving the 55 AU. You're listening to the Sprint Car Show with Sean Wood.
Welcome back to the Sprint Car Show here on the DirtTrackChannel.com. Well, news breaking on Monday afternoon, Mike Barshinger having a new driver for his team for the 2017 season after a long and successful campaign with Corey Haas. We bring in his new driver, Lucas Wolf. Lucas, it's always a pleasure to talk with you. Welcome back to the show.
Yeah, how's it going, Sean?
Well, we're doing pretty good, Lucas. You have a full-time ride for the first time, I guess, in a number of years. You were with the John and Pee Wee's Amida Zemco number one team for the past three seasons. What led you to looking at this as an opportunity to get back to full-time and making the decision to go run with the Barshinger crew?
Of course, I was very fortunate to have three good years with the Zemco racing team, and certainly look back fondly on all of that, and it's been really good. The opportunity came up with Mike to be racing all the races in the area, plus a few that we might be able to hit a little bit outside of the area here coming up for the next season. It's a move in the right direction that we'll be able to do the full schedule all in one car. The previous 3 years I've kind of split it up between two, so I think having a little bit better focus of being able to do all the races in one car, hopefully, will prove to be the right decision. And at this point, I'm just disappointed the season's ending because it's anticipation of getting started with a new team and the new season.
And you're ending it on a high note with a win on the other night over at Bridgeport Speedway in the five car. So what's the plans for doing anything with 360 racing outside of your commitments to the 410 team?
Well, hopefully we'll be able to feature that prominently throughout the year as well. Obviously having similar access to all of that equipment again next year. I'm looking forward to being able to run as many shows as possible. Obviously as a full-time sprint car driver, you want to race as much as you can. And hopefully this combination will allow the maximum from all the potential dates available to race. But looking forward to hopefully continuing some of the success we had this year in the next year in both the 410 and potentially 360 program.
You won the 2015 Port Royal Speedway title, which was your first track championship. You won your second PA Sprint Car Speedweek title back in 2014, all coming with the Zemco car. There have been some great names that have been associated with that car over the years. To you personally, what does it mean to be able to put your name on that list and say that you are part of that Zemco number one car and drive that car here in Central Pennsylvania?
Sure, it was great. You know, growing up, of course, that was one of the cars that was always a mainstay in the area. It's been around a long time. It's had a tremendous list of both drivers and accomplishments over the years. John and Pee Wee are both great people, were fantastic to me, and we were close friends before and during and hopefully after, as well as Tommy and everybody else involved with the team. They're all great people, and I wish them nothing but the best in the future.
When you sat down with Mike and discussed the plans for the upcoming season, what's one or two of the goals that you can share with us as to what the team wants to do, and what are the plans for you guys for the upcoming season?
Well, I think we're both in a position where we're looking to do as much racing as we can. Obviously, you want to be successful. It's hard to put specific goals on anything because you especially early in the thing, you want everything. But realistically, we have to at this point, we have to get everything prepared the best we can in the off season. You know, we're facing a few months here to get ready before the early start of the season back here in PA, and hopefully we'll be prepared for that. We're gonna try to do the best job we can, put ourselves in the best position to be successful as possible, and hopefully we'll be able to figure prominently as one of the most competitive cars in the area.
So I take it then Friday night you'll be at Williams Grove. What are the plans then for Saturday nights?
Well, I think at this point we kind of like to stay as flexible as possible. Both Lincoln and Port Royal do a good job of adding bigger events throughout the last couple years. And I think it makes the most sense for us to try to hit both of them on occasion. So at this point, I wouldn't really expect to commit to a Saturday night track full time, but just try to pick what makes the most sense on that particular night and see how it all goes.
And on top of some of the touring events, obviously there's Knoxville, there's the Kings Royal, there's a few other events throughout the country. Where do they stack in terms of what you guys are putting on the schedule now, maybe either tentatively or definitely would like to take a look at running throughout the year?
Well, certainly as a professional driver, Knoxville is a must-do type of event. It's just one you have to be at. And at this point, I think we're shooting to make an attempt at that. As far as any other bigger, more marquee events, haven't really discussed any of those. At this point, we're going to, I would assume, get started and see how things go. And, of course, depending on the course in which it takes naturally, we might be able to adjust the schedule as time goes on. And at this point, I think collectively, we're just trying to do what makes the most sense to us at the time and end up as flexible as possible.
What will be the first date then when you guys will be able to debut the new team on track?
Well, traditionally, the first events back in this area are early in the season at Lincoln. So I'm going to assume at this point that would be the first scheduled event whenever, depending on, of course, how the weather goes. As soon as we can start back here, we'll be at the first one, and hopefully all of them after that.
So nothing in terms of Florida or any other early season events of that nature before you guys ramp up things here in Central PA?
At this point, I do not expect that, no.
And Lucas, how do you see the current state of 410 sprint car racing here in Central Pennsylvania? Been around it for such a long time. Your family's been around it. From your standpoint as a driver, how do you see it?
Well, there's, of course, struggles. There's always struggles. There's always potential things that are issues. Of course, it's a increasingly more expensive activity to be involved in, and it's more and more difficult for people to justify doing it. However, swings where it seems like it's really strong and gaining some momentum, and other times you get a feeling where it's a bit of a struggle and it's all but on its last leg. But I think over time that the it'll kind of continue to persevere through any potential downturns or times that look not as favorable. Of course, as a full-time driver, there's less and less options all the time, it would seem. But at the same rate, there's always new people that come in and take the place of the long-time owners and guys that have been around for 30 years, and then there's new blood, so to speak, coming in. So I guess at this point, if you like anything else, you would probably be evaluating. That is, you say it's not as strong as you'd like it to be. But thus far, it continues to be successful. We have, more and more tracks back here, it seems like, every year that are improving their facilities, adding events, doing different things, different types of promotional events, trying to build it some. So I think there's still a lot of very good people involved in it. And hopefully for mine and everybody else's sake that's involved, it'll continue that way for a long time in the future.
Lucas, as always, we appreciate your candidness, and I want to wish you and Mike Barshinger all the best of luck as you embark on the 2017 racing season.
All right, well, thank you.
Sure thing. Lucas Wolf joining us here on the Sprint Car Show, the new driver of the Mike Barshinger 410 Sprint Car here in Central Pennsylvania. We'll take a break and come back with more of the show right after this.
The National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville, Iowa is the only sprint car museum in the world dedicated to promoting the future of sprint car racing and preserving the past. Located in Turn 2 of the world-famous Knoxville Raceway, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum is open 7 days a week, year-round, except New Year's Day, Easter, Thanksgiving Day, and Christmas Day. Non-wing sprint cars, historic big cars, open-wheel roadsters, and wing sprinters are all on display in the museum, which also features a movie theater and the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame. Make plans now to stop by the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum the next time you're in Knoxville, Iowa, or shop our museum store online at www.sprintcarstuff.com. The Hall of Fame and Museum is open from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. Central Time Monday through Friday, and from noon to 5 p.m. Central Time on Saturdays and Sundays.
Hi, this is Shane Cottle. You're listening to the Sprint Car Show with Sean Wood.
Welcome back to the Sprint Car Show here on the DirtTrackChannel.com. Time to talk a little non-wing sprint car racing. We're going to bring in the son of the flying shoe, Casey Schumann, as he joins us this evening. And Casey and his soon-to-be wife, Brooke, running the WAR non-wing sprint car series. And they have some very exciting news to announce here on our broadcast. Casey, welcome to the show. Great to talk with you.
Hey, thanks for having me. I'm glad to be there.
So you guys have some big news. You purchased the series last year. It's a three-year-old series. And then the news comes out today. Why don't you tell the fans what's happening and why you're so excited about what the future of the wingless auto racing sprint car series is going to have.
Well, we've been in talks a little bit with Power Eye and Jason McCord here in the last month or two, and finally struck a deal to partner up with Power Eye and kind of come under their banner and bring Lucas Oil on board as a title sponsor for the WAR series and look to do a lot of like cross promotion and a lot of like co-sanction type stuff with the midgets and micros and now the sprint cars. So it'll be looking forward to next year. It's going to be a lot of fun.
And we've seen that here in the East back a number of years ago when USAC came in and we had the then ARDC midgets at their peak. The places were packed when they came in. I'd have to think that's sort of what you guys are not only hoping for in terms of great crowds coming out to see a open wheel double header, but hopefully some of these guys who are in the 600 micros would move up either to the midgets or to the non-wing sprint cars as well. Is that what the overall goal is?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, now it just makes sense to have we could have all the progressions. You know, we got a guy that could start out in the micro stuff and move up into a midget, and then eventually could end up in the sprint car. So, and from a promoter side, like you were saying back there in PA, it's a really cool show to try and sell as far as being able to say we got midgets and non-wing sprint cars together. Or, we've even talked to some people already about doing micros, midgets and sprint cars all together on one date. So it's a pretty cool show that I think a lot of fans like to come and watch.
What was the most interesting thing for you last year being a racer, but also for the first time being a promoter and having to juggle what it was like to be now both sides, basically, of the street?
Well, it really wasn't too bad, but, it was, I think it brought a lot of respect. I mean, there was a lot of times something would happen on the track or something would go on and I could go talk to the guys and I think they would listen. You know, they knew they couldn't really BS me. And I told them all the time in the driver's meetings, if something did happen, and I'd tell them, like, guys, I'm still racing. I would try and get away with the same thing, and I understand, but this is how we got to do it, and it's been really cool because I think there's just a lot of respect from those guys, knowing that I still race and I've done it for a long time, and they know that I know exactly what they're thinking and where they're coming from. So when we make a lot of decisions, as a series, we do it a lot trying to look out for the owners and the drivers. And so I think it's been cool. There's just been a lot of respect, both ways, back and forth between us.
Did it give you a little different perspective from yourself as being a racer and knowing the things that you had gone through and the situations that you were you had gone through over the years, and now you're on the you're on the other side of things. From you as an individual, what perspective did you walk away with after this year was over, looking back on your first year as a promoter?
I think it just hit me a lot more about really trying to put on a good show. You know, when you're a racer and you're there, you know, that you're there for one thing and you're there to try and win races, and you don't really think about the other stuff going on when you're not on the racetrack. And you know, even just getting lined up, you know, I mean, that's one thing I really tried to get the guys to get better is, you know, getting lined up for heat races and getting lined up under cautions and, you know, the stuff that I'm, you know, as a fan or as from watching on that side, on my side of the fence now, you know, you think, man, you know what, why are we taking so long? You know, we need to get this stuff rolling. And so, you know, basically that's the biggest, you know, adjustment is trying to make sure we're putting on a good show and keeping things moving along in a good time. That's one thing that you know, and I'd go back and race this year, and I'd go race somewhere, and I would get it. You know, I'd be sitting there, and then it would click with me. You know, as we were taking forever to get lined up, taking forever for track maintenance and stuff like that. So, you know, the overall just putting on a show and trying to get it done in a timely fashion was probably the biggest thing that I've noticed.
Now, Casey, come on now. You know, 410 sprint car drivers, you guys have your own different clock.
Oh, I agree. Yeah. I agree. But I've been trying to get those guys on my clock, and it hasn't been too bad. I mean, we haven't had a lot of issues. We've left a few people during hot laps and stuff like that. But it normally, you know, once we get through hot laps, everyone's kind of on the right page. And like I said, it's really gone pretty smooth. I mean, we haven't had a lot of issues. And I think that just goes back to I feel like there's a lot of respect. I have respect for these guys and. You know, the money they're spending to come and race with us, and you know, I feel it on the other end from them, and it's been really cool to work with them.
And I'm sure that's something that promoters are going to appreciate is the fact that you're trying to get these guys to get in line so that they move the show along. Not saying you have to rush the show through. I've always thought 2.5 to 3 hours is a good night's worth of entertainment at any dirt track, as long as there's not any kind of lag time. But just when you started talking about getting these guys in line, and I mean, especially here in central Pennsylvania, my goodness, you know, you tell them it's time to get heat in the engines, and they're just still sitting around. Half of them aren't even in their fire suits yet. And it's like, you know, you almost want to pull out the Rodney Dangerfield clip from the movie Caddyshack. Oh, let's go while we're young.
yeah, definitely.
So you just did say that a couple guys did get left behind because you want to make sure that the show was acceptable not only at your standards, but at the standards that the track would expect as well. Do you think they got the message then when they were left behind and not out for hot laps that, hey, we better make sure that when they say it's 6:45 and we're getting our hot lap sessions, we're there in line?
Yeah, because those guys that missed hot laps, they were the first ones in line for the heat race. So they got it. And like I said, that's, you know, we ended up running 20 races this year, and I can only think of a couple times where it was an issue or anything like that. So I mean, they understood, and they started doing a lot better job after we left a couple.
Of course, your father's was one hell of a racer, a great man. What did you say to dad, and what was your dad's reaction when you told him that you were going to buy a racing series and be a promoter?
He thought I was nuts. You know, but and it's, I don't know, I mean, he did the same thing. You know, he got done with racing and took over the SCRA deal, and you know, after that he had done the AFCS there locally in Phoenix, and I don't know, I mean, we probably just have a lot of the same same tendencies. We want to try and help, and I, you know, that's the whole reason I did the war thing in the first place, is that, you know, I really enjoyed going over there and racing with those guys, and I could see that they just needed maybe a little help and you know, a little direction with their series, and I think it would pay off a lot for them. And so we did that, and you know, just tried to get them going in the right direction and do a lot of the little things that I've seen, you know, other series do over the years, and just kind of got them going on the right track, and this year it's really worked out well, and
you know, it obviously worked out pretty well because it caught the eye of the Power Eye guys and got them interested in trying to do some stuff together. So it worked out really well.
What did you guys average for the season in terms of car counts?
I think we averaged right at 22. You know, there was nights where we were definitely, you know, down at 14 or 15. And then, you know, like the Hockett race, we were at 44 or 45 all three nights. You know, it definitely a lot of it depends on the location of where we were at. And there was a track that would run on Saturday nights against us sometimes right there in the Kansas City area. So the nights that we were running head-to-head, I mean, you know, we had a few more than they would have, but it kind of split us all up. And that's one thing we're going to focus on this offseason is try and work together, you know, a little more with those other tracks. And you know, I think it was just hard for them. I think they wanted to see how we would do it for a year and see if we were actually going to make a difference and see if we were even going to last. So, you know, not only are we lasting, we'll come back bigger and better this year. And we'll try and work together with some of those tracks and try and get it to where all the non-wing guys in the Kansas City area and even Illinois are going to be together, you know, on a Saturday night racing with each other.
Well, that's good to hear that people are wanting to reach out and talk with people and make sure that everybody has a chance to race and is not hurting the population of racing, so to speak, and that the race fans can themselves go and see their favorite drivers wherever they're at. With Power Eye, you're going to be working with a guy in Jason McCord who's well-respected in our industry, well-liked. How do you see the two of you working together, and what benefits are there working with Jason to help bring this whole series up to another level, say, in the next few years?
Well, Jason and I mean, we've actually talked and worked a lot together here in the last, you know, 2 or 3 months, just trying to get this deal put together. And I mean, I've you know, been around and dealt with Jason a lot when he was there at USAC. And you know, now he feels like he has a kind of a fresh breath on everything, and he's getting to do a lot of things that maybe he didn't get to do in the past. And you know, Kenny Brown has kind of given us free rein and said, you guys just go do what you think we need to do to make this thing work and make it a better deal. So, and we think a lot alike. There's a lot of things that we'll talk about and you know, we're right on the same page as far as, you know, scheduling and, you know, rules and stuff like that. We're real close on all of that stuff. So it's been really easy working with him so far.
And now that you have this new game plan in place, what's the overall goals for your second year as promoter of the War Series?
Well, I mean, we're definitely going to try and expand a little bit. A lot of our guys that followed us all year last year were from Illinois, and the majority of our races were all in Missouri, so they traveled quite a bit. But you know, we're going to maybe expand over there a little bit. You know, there's a lot of interest with the War deal, you know, all around Missouri. There's been interest in Iowa and Kansas and Oklahoma and Illinois. So there's a lot of options to expand and spread out a little bit. But we also don't want to make our core guys travel too much. So we'll attack that and kind of see what's doable and what's not for our guys and just slowly expand and make this deal bigger and better.
Casey, I want to thank you very much for taking time out to join us here on the Sprint Car Show and bring us up to date as to what's happening with the War Series. And look forward to seeing the progress throughout the winter times and then into the 2017 season, and having you guys back on again to bring us up to date as to what's been happening here with this new agreement between you, Power Eye, and Lucas Oil for the War Series. So congratulations on the new agreement. And all the best. And again, we greatly appreciate your time and joining us here on the Sprint Car Show.
Well, I appreciate you having me on. And yeah, we'll keep up to date and we'll see where we're at in 3 or 4 months from now.
Casey Schumann with the War Wingless Sprint Car Series joining us here on the Sprint Car Show. We'll take a break and come back with more of our show right after this.
With more than 30 years experience in the industry, Kinzer Air Filters have earned the trust of racers from local tracks to the national scene. Kinzer Air Filters offers a 360 dome positive charged air filter, the cleanest air filter on the market. Easy to use, can be cleaned with soap and water. From sprint cars and midgets to late models, drivers rely on Kinzer Air Filters as a brand they can trust while being economically affordable. Trust, support, and pride. Three words that will sum up your experience with Kinzer Air Filters. Roger Kinzer believes in his clients and thanks everyone for their continued support. To learn more, call Roger at 812-327-7103. That's 812-327-7103. Keep watching for the newly redesigned Kinzer Air Filter website. Kinzer Air Filters, proudly made in the USA.
Hi, this is Nicole Bauer. You're listening to The Sprint Car Show with Sean Wood.
Welcome back to The Sprint Car Show here on the DirtTrackChannel.com. Great to have you with us. And as you know, over the past number of years, we have been doing interviews with drivers throughout Australia, New Zealand, and Tasmania in the world of sprint car racing. Well, over those years, we have seen a number of ladies get involved in the sport. And right now, we bring on one of the up-and-coming young ladies who's making a name for herself, even though this is just her first year in 410 sprint car racing. She has been around this world of motorsports since age 14 when she started in junior sedans. We welcome in Courtney O'Hare from Sydney. Hi, Courtney. Welcome to the Sprint Car Show. It's great to talk with you.
Yeah, hi, Sean. Thanks for having me on the show.
So you are a 410 sprint car driver. You're in your rookie season. How did you come to wanting to drive a sprint car when you are a hairstylist and work with your mom at your mom's shop by day?
It's a little bit different. I've always been into my racing since I was 14. I started off in junior sedans and progressed up into, obviously, now the sprint cars, which is pretty cool. But, yeah.
You know, most girls your age, that when they get into a business such as running a salon with your mom, that's what they're focused on. But here you are on Saturdays mixing it up with some of the best in the sport of Australia for 410 sprint car racing. How did that idea about becoming a 410 sprint car driver all come about?
Yeah, it's a little bit different. I mean, with the salon, I was always, like, we had the salon a few, I think, 5 years now, and now that I've got the sprint car deal, I really want to focus on it and make the most of it. So, yeah.
And so was anybody else in the family ever involved in motorsports, or are you the first?
My sister started off in junior sedans before I did, and I just ended up continuing on to the open wheelers.
And is your sister still race, or is she not racing anymore?
No, she actually plays football over here.
Oh, okay. That's pretty interesting. So she's given up the idea of driving on the dirt tracks, but you're continuing that on now.
Yeah, definitely.
So what's it like racing at Parramatta City? You have some of the best in the business out there with you, and you're piloting a 410 sprint car. What's that like for you on Saturday nights?
Yeah, it's awesome. And, I mean, we're so lucky in Sydney that we have what we have now in promoting ourselves and getting us the sponsors that we need to be out on the track each week. But, yeah, very lucky.
In your rookie year so far, you've had a few races. What has it been like from your standpoint coming up from the ranks of the junior sedans to where you're at now? What's the feeling for you driving a 410 sprint car?
I still sometimes need to pinch myself because it's always been a dream of mine to race the sprint cars. And even getting up into the wing race, that was once my dream, and to be able to go this far, it's pretty cool.
So you ran wingless sprint cars then before the 410 sprint cars?
Yeah, I sure did. When I was 19, I jumped into the wingless, raced that for a few years, and was asked to drive for someone in speed cars, and I did a year in speed cars. I also ran one of the legend cars for the Legend Cars Australia, but yeah.
And we should let our listeners know that in Australia, they don't run the V8 engine as we do here in the non-wing sprint cars in America. They run a V6. So obviously, you're going not only from a wingless car, which is much different to drive, to a 410,
yeah.
And you're going from a non-wing to a wing car. So what so far has been the biggest challenge that you are facing in making the jump from a wingless, less horsepower to the baddest race car on the planet?
Yeah, definitely. With the wingless and the speed car drive a lot similar to each other. noticed that in the spring car, it was a little bit difficult to get used to the and all that sort of stuff, but we found that each car setup that they do on the spring car, it's really reactive. Like, it just, I can feel it a lot more, which is, it's good. So I can go back to the team and let them know what the car's doing. But yeah, that's one thing I've definitely learned in sprint cars.
And one thing we should, again, let folks know, speed cars are what they call midgets in Australia. And I know there are people that would hang me for saying that, but sorry, folks, I'm not politically correct. They're midgets. So when people say, it's just like when people talk about Speedway down under, they're talking about dirt track racing that we just call dirt track racing. But there are some people who do refer to it as midgets, but you'll see speed cars. So just so you know, speed car and midgets are one and the same. But there again, too, I have, in all the talks I've had with different drivers, there could be some bad habits as well coming from a midget to a 410 sprint car. And I understand from our conversation we had the other day, you went to one of the best guys in the country. Matter of fact, the guy we just had on the show last week, Robbie Farr, you went to his driving school. What was that like, and did he talk to you about some of the habits that you may have used in driving a midget compared to how maybe those habits may not work when driving a 410 winged sprint car?
Yeah, of course. When I went up to the Robbie Farr driving school, it was really the best thing I did starting off in the 410 sprint cars. I obviously I picked up some habits from the wingless and the speed car. I tend to back it in a lot more than the sprint cars. But Robbie's driving school is the best thing I could have done. He taught me everything I need to know just to have that confidence to get out on the track.
As a family, did you guys go to Speedway when you were kids?
Yeah, all the time. Yep.
When would you say you started to realize to yourself that when you saw the sprint cars, you know you want to do that someday?
To be honest, I got into the junior sedans because my sister did it, and I always loved racing, and I probably would say I was always a scaredy cat as well. But continuing on and having the confidence now, I'm actually probably more scared in a wingless or in a speed car than I am in the sprint car.
Yeah, but it's also a lot of fun to back that non-wing sprint car in, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. It was a lot of fun, and I'm sure I miss it a little bit, but yeah, the sprint cars are pretty cool with the power of them.
You have a very amazing story to tell about what happened when you were running the wingless sprint cars, and I want you to go ahead and tell our listening audience the story as to what happened and how you got to where you are today.
Okay, so in my first year of wingless, I actually, fourth race meeting in, I broke my neck. The track lights went out, and I went for a bit of a tumble roll down the front straight, and yeah, I ended up with a fractured C6 and C7 vertebrae. So I was out for 10 months, and that was that. That was that. and then I came back the next season, back in the wingless. I did another season in wingless. Then the next season, which was last year, I actually ran speed car as well as the wingless, which was a big help. And I had a few drives in the legend car. And for the deal I have now, my car owners were actually clients of mine at the salon, and Aaron, one of the car owners, he's actually right into motorsport. So I ended up sending him a proposal, and it all started from there.
So one of your clients is now your car owner, and you had a C6 and C7 fracture, and you're back racing.
You sure am.
So how did you convince mom and dad after that? I mean, obviously, you know, it's a very nasty break that you had there with the C6 and C7. How did you convince mom and dad that you didn't have any issues yourself in wanting to get back into a sprint car again?
I guess it wasn't really their choice, but I know mom was a little worried about it. My stepdad Cam, he's fine. He was happy to go back racing. It's like what he loves doing. So mom just goes with what I want to do.
What was the recommendations from the doctors after they initially saw you? Did they say anything about getting back into the car? And if you were to have another incident and a break of the C6, C7, could that have caused paralysis at all?
I actually was probably too scared to ask them because I didn't want to hear the answer because all doctors, you know, don't want you to do it again. But I know that they did say to me if I did it again, it probably I wouldn't be so lucky. But touch wood, I'm going good.
So have you taken anything extra in terms of precaution with the safety equipment, with a containment seat? What have you done yourself as a driver? And again, it was a situation that was out of your control because we've seen what happened when lights go out at racetracks. It's not a pretty sight. We had that happen here this year at the local track at Sealands Grove Speedway. But thankfully, we were not racing at the time. It was before the cars were being pushed out for the feature, and it was the 360 sprint car feature. So what have you done since that time, Courtney, to try to stabilize yourself as much as possible and try to prevent that injury from happening again?
Yeah, so my safety equipment when it happened was all pretty good stuff. I guess the only thing I did end up changing was I got my own custom containment seat. I changed to a Hans device, and I just made sure that was all up to scratch. And now I'm actually sponsored by the boxing room. So that's my gym now, and if I can strengthen it and try and keep it strong, I should be pretty right.
So you've run a midget, you run a non-wing sprint car, you run the junior sedan, now you're in the top of the echelon for dirt track racing in the wing 410 sprint car. What's the rush really like for you when that green flag drops and you drop the hammer and you're going full board down the front stretch there at Parramatta City?
It's amazing. I don't think I'm that, it's not that I'm scared of the speed of it. If I hold that thing but the whole way around, probably at this stage, I probably couldn't control it that much, but it's a pretty cool feeling, the power of the sprint cars have.
So where are you at now coming into the next race meeting compared to where you were back at the start of this season? How much do you think you have gained in the confidence in driving a 410, and where do you still see yourself having to work on things to get better?
So with the sprint cars, I feel a lot more confident in it. I feel safer. I don't know if it's a big wing on top, but every week we try and improve, and each week I think we have improved in different ways, and trying different car setups and just setting better goals for myself, and but we're doing pretty well.
Besides Parramatta City, where else will you be racing this year with the team?
So we've already raced at Toowoomba Speedway, Murray Bridge Speedway, and Mildura. But I'm thinking we're doing a 360 show down in Moema in December.
So basically just trying to get to a couple of different tracks and learn a little bit, but focusing on Parramatta City then for your regular competition.
Yeah, I mean, Parramatta's our main track, and it's good to be able to know your way around that. But even we're actually doing the Classic this year as well. I forgot about that track. But it's really good to be able to travel and learn different tracks and not get used to Parramatta, because it can get pretty hard when then you have to race to the wall where you're so used to not having to.
Yeah, that's it is. I think that's one of the biggest differences between the States and Down Under. There's a lot more cement walls than maybe here in some of the states. Like you go out to the Midwest and Indiana and the bull rings, and there really aren't any type of walls or barriers, so to speak. And just want to throw out real quick. So there you heard David Mills right here. Courtney O'Hare coming to the Classic at Warrnambool there at Sun Gold Milk Stadium. I think that's what it is. David's a good guy down there, and that's a big, big race. But speaking of the States, you actually came over to the States to check out the Knoxville Nationals. What were your impressions of Knoxville?
Yeah, it was amazing. I love the spirit that's over there in the Speedway. You guys don't do anything half-assed, which is pretty cool. But, yeah, it's definitely something that I'd love to be at.
speaking of long-term goals, what are your long-term goals in Speedway in Australia and with the 410 Sprint Car?
Well, my long-term goal was actually to get into Sprint Car, and it was amazing how quick it all happened. So I feel like things are happening really quickly at the moment, and while I can take it, I will. So I know that I would love to be over in the States, but over here I would definitely love to be in the A-Main this year. That would be pretty cool.
So that's the goal then for you, is to at least make the A-Main and get into that portion of the event. How close are you, Courtney, do you think, to achieving that goal of making the A-Main there at Parramatta City?
It gets tough with our car counts over here. We get a few cars, but I know that
few?
If we keep pushing. Yeah, we do. But
like
I know if we keep
night,
pushing.
Folks.
I know that if we keep pushing each week, I know we'll get there.
Well, Courtney, it's been a pleasure talking with you, and obviously an incredible story coming back from a C6 and C7 fractured vertebrae to continue on racing and have just under 8 years gone from junior sedans up to the 410 Sprint Car rank. So we want to wish you all the best of luck and continued success with the racing career, and we look forward to talking with you, and hopefully we'll get you over here and have you check out the racing action and the action here in Central Pennsylvania someday.
That would be amazing. Thanks, Sean. Thanks for having me on the show. It's been great.
Courtney O'Hare, one of the many female drivers in the world of Speedway in Australia, joining us here on the Sprint Car Show. We will take a break and be back with more of our broadcast right after this.
Yes, Dolphins football season is here, but Shula's, the name synonymous with perfection, can be enjoyed year-round. Whether it's a round of golf on our championship golf course, dinner at the original Shula Steakhouse, having visiting guests or yourself, enjoy their stay at the legendary Don Shula Hotel with adjoining athletic club and spa. The perfect choice any time of year is Shula's. For more information, 305-821-1150 or visit donshulahotel.com.
Welcome back to the Sprint Car Show. We'd like to take a moment and thank our guests Lucas Wolf, Casey Schumann, and Courtney O'Hare for joining us on today's broadcast. We had one more interview for you, and unfortunately, we had an electronic snafu, and the interview went poof. And of course, of all times, it was the legendary Ricky Gaunt. And those of you who are regular listeners to our podcast know when Ricky and I get together, it is a blast. Had a blast chatting with him the other day. Unfortunately, just something happened and lost the interview, but I can tell you this, Ricky is very humbled to be the Grand Marshal for this upcoming weekend's 21st annual Budweiser Oval Nationals at the Paris Auto Speedway. Of course, Ricky, the 1999 winner of that event, and he told us, and we will tell you, he will be in a midget at the Chili Bowl in January. So Ricky Gaunt in a midget in the Chili Bowl this coming January. That's worth the price of admission right there, because Ricky is a heck of a wheelman, and we enjoy having him. So we'll catch up with him in the near future, and hopefully we won't have that electronic snafu again. And believe me, it's just one of those gut-wrenching ones, because you would have been in stitches the entire time we had the conversation rolling. But I'm sure that Ricky and I will have a good conversation here in the next couple of weeks. Well, as you know, Sammy Swindell picked up another win in the Short Track Nationals. Chris Windham had a heck of a weekend for himself in the Western world. And Brady Bacon and Damian Gardner are all but locking up the USAC National and the USAC CRA Championships, respectively. So we'll have those guys on the show in the coming weeks. Again, thank you for listening. And as always, our broadcast is brought to you by Shula Steakhouse in Miami Lakes, Florida. When you think steaks, think Shula's. Kinzer Air Filters, proudly made in the USA, and by the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum, located outside of Turn 2 at the famed Knoxville Raceway. Thanks for listening, everybody. I'm Sean Wood.
This has been a presentation of the Dirt Track Channel.